Good morning, everyone. So can all of you hear me? Yeah, cool. All right. So since I already introduced myself, I will just go straight into today's preaching. Today's message is part of the four-week series from John 15. And since some of you have been on a holiday, maybe during the series, I think it would be better for us to do a little bit of recap before we continue to today's message. So in week one, Chris gave us a sermon on John 15, 1-4. The big idea is Jesus is the true vine and we are the branches. That points the relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. And in week two, he continued to preach verses 5-8, emphasize that we have to stay connected to Jesus in order to produce good fruit and sowing ourselves to be the true disciples of Christ. Last week, David shared with you that in what ways we can connect and remain in Jesus' love so that our true joys could be complete. And this week, we are going to finish up this preaching series by looking at verses 12-17 together. And here's the message, which you already read before. So we just read the John 15, 12-17, which are on the screen. But if we read 15, verse 1-17 as a whole, we will find that the topics in this text are about relationship, and they bind together by the theme of love. Focusing in the first part on the vertical love and the vertical relationship with God, who binding the believers to God through Jesus Christ. And in the second part on the horizontal relationship that binds believers with each other. If you still remember in the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of Mark, when someone asked Jesus this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." So, in a different way, we can see different gospel writers, they all come to the same point and highlight the same vertical love and horizontal love. And the love is so important within the Christian community. Today's message, Jesus started the love commandment in verse 12 and in verse 17 again. He concludes his talk again in this same commandment. You may ask, isn't love still really love if it's a commandment? In fact, this is a really good question. But when we take a close look at this, we will find that each time when John described Jesus giving this love commandment, Jesus never used an imperative form. Instead, he says that he is giving out a command, and then he went on to explain what the command is. Verses 12-17 significantly details the truth love is and the implication of such love. Jesus pointed that the highest level of love for someone is to be prepared to die for the sake of that person. Well, this is really a challenge because too often we don't even want to live for each other. How likely are we prepared to die for each other? However, Jesus never commands something that he never demonstrates. He actually demonstrates this one. He sacrificed on the cross is the greatest example of love of his people. He had laid down his life for us, each one of us. The love Jesus has demonstrated is not a feeling. It is a love of action. We are, as Jesus' follower, are the objects of his love, a love that does not count the cost and does not discriminate. The ideas are linked in the text by the image of the vine and the branches. The love flows from God to Jesus Christ and from Christ to each of us, his believer and follower, and united us organically. However, this love is not taken to be granted or to be treated lightly. Obedience is expected to follow. Jesus gave himself for our sake because God the Father has asked him to do so. In Jesus' highest and deepest expectation of love, his disciples ought to follow his example, to obey his command. And the immediate command was that we should love one another. In the present context, such love requires self-ambition to be replaced by self-sacrifice and service. With the condition of obedience, Jesus called his disciples friends, not commanded them a servant. The key to obedience is we are not to obey as a servant, but obey as a friend. Now it's very tricky. When a master asks a servant to do something, this is an order. The servant obey because they fear their master. However, when a man shares his plan with his friends and include them in his work, this is an honor. His friends choose to follow him because they respond him with love. In fact, Jesus has already made known to his follower everything that he had heard from the Father. Jesus' exhortation in verse 14 carries the authority of a master, but was at the same time it rooted in the love of the chosen one, for the one who had chosen them. The chosen do not see obedience as a burdensome obligation, but as a loving response to their friends. The purpose that Jesus chose and appointed his disciples is to go and bear fruit. The mission the disciple was sent was to affect the lives of others, to bear fruit that will last. The fruit remains because Jesus promised that he will keep them. If you still remember, when Chris preached 2 weeks ago, she encouraged you to stay connected to Jesus, to have known his word, so that those words can influence how you live your life, how you make decisions, and how you respond to people around you, so that you can produce the good lasting fruit you were created to make. Secondly, asking God through prayer in Jesus' name is necessary for fruit bearing happen. This is anchoring verse 7 to 8. Jesus made this promise to those who go and bear fruit. And he said, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in his name. Jesus linked prayer and fruit bearing in the cause and effective relationship. The promise of answering prayer is conditioned upon the mutual enduring of the disciple with Jesus and his word. Here, the fulfillment of the promise hinges upon the disciples bearing much fruit by demonstrating their love in daily life. Prayer plays an essential role in the disciples' fruitfulness. We saw Jesus call his follower to live in an organic relationship with him, just as the branch is connected to the vine. And the relationship will, Jesus said, result in fruit. Therefore, friends of Jesus are chosen by him to bear lasting fruit as they depend upon him through prayer. When I was here for visits last time, I had a chat with some of you. I understood that the aim of your church is to be a Christ-centered community, growing in faith and being part of God's transforming work in this local community. I was touched by the love that you have for this church. I was touched because when I heard of how you had sacrificed your time and put efforts to renovate one of the church halls, I also heard of how you had support and served this church family through its difficult time. This is really touching. And I was also encouraged when I heard that in your desperate need, you lift up your eyes and pray for God and ask for his providence. This is such faith you live out in this church. This is amazing. This is how you live in him and abide in the divine love. I was so touched when I talked to some of you 2 weeks ago in regarding to all those. I was also impressed by your passion of finding a way to serve the local community better. I thank God for how you are abiding in this love, and I believe you do love this church family very much. However, did you ever think of how do you participate this love? Or how do you practice this love commandment in a wider church context? Remember, when we talk about the church, it is a church with a capital C. So it is all the churches together. We are the body of Christ. When I visit your website, I noticed that the values of this church are Christ-centered, mission-shaped, relational, committed, people empowering, and partnership oriented. I know Chris, as your lead pastor, always encourages you to have connection with other local church. I also know that the pastoral team of your church meets up regularly with my pastoral team in my church. And this is why I'm here today. It's such connection makes things happen. So I'm so grateful that we have those connections together. Based on the core value of your church, I believe you should have tried to seek partnership with other local church with you or around you in God's mission. You might have organized a couple of community events together, or maybe you have participated in some local Christian events like Easter Fair or Christmas Carol. How was that experience about? How did you feel about those experiences? Well, if you felt good of those experiences, I thank God for that, because this is a such good cooperation within the wider body of Christ. However, if sometime you feel like those experiences ended up not as what you have expected, are those feelings, are those negative experiences bring over disappointments to you and stop you to proceed further, to connect to the wider body of Christ? Let me share a story of my training experience with you. 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, actually, I started a fitness program mainly focused on kettlebell workouts. At the beginning, I didn't know how to use my strength correctly, so I always have sore arms after my training. And my trainer taught me the proper lifting techniques, by correcting my incorrect positions. So I need to keep my back straight and type my course and hold each position as it is. Oh, this is really cool. As far as I learn all the technique, I feel like I can relax my arms all the time and I don't have to use the strength for my arms anymore. And I know my strength actually comes from my core. However, when we started to do something different, to do what he called the alternating rotation lunge, but of course with the kettlebell, I find trouble to coordinate with my own body. My hands movement is much faster than my leg, and I couldn't actually cooperate in the rhythm that I should do. And then I started to forget that I should use the strength from my core. And I begin to use the strength from my arms again, which made me feel tired very quick. Well, I believe that you have all those experiences at some stage when you lift up things. If you don't use the strength from your core, you get tired and you may can't lift up anything at all. So this is how I feel. Oh, yeah, I can't even cooperate with my own body. So I told the trainer, I cannot cooperate with my body with this. When I say that, I was hoping that he'd tell me that, oh, that's fine, let's do something else. However, he looked into my eyes and said, oh yeah, I see that you have trouble on this. So let's keep doing this until you can manage it. Until your arms and your legs can cooperate with each other. So if you are familiar with pose writing, you will remember that pose always describes the church as the body of Christ. Just take this metaphor in heart and think of this. So often, we have trouble to cooperate with our own physical body. So how much harder when we try to unite it with our spiritual body? We may fail a couple of times, but the good news is failure isn't final. It is a life experience, and we should treat it as a growing opportunity. Now, in some degrees, Paul's metaphor is similar to the image of the vine and the branches. All the healthy branches shall intertwine together and intertwine with each other so they can bear heavy and abundant fruit. We should always remind ourselves that we need to partnership with the broader church family of Christ to achieve our mission in this world. Only through the presence of love in the Christian community can the mission of Christ to be complete. Immediately after Jesus repeat the concept that he saved us so that we could bear fruit, he repeat the same love commandment again. It is a crucial reminder to all of Jesus' followers, including you and me. For unless we do so, our mission activity will become meaningless. The word love is in present tense, which means that this is to be our way of life. We should practice love at all times, at all places, to all people, even with our co-worker in other church family. It may be easier for us to make effort to do things independently. This is because sinful human has expectation of others. We even have expectation of God. When God doesn't do exactly what we want him to do in our life, we get disappointed with him. This is especially true in our partnership with others. You and I have expectations of those who partner with us. When we don't meet our expectation, we become frustrated. However, Jesus has commanded his church to love one another. This love in Christ may mean to sacrifice our comfort, our personal interest, plans, desire, all our resource, our pride, our wounded spirit, and extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. The command to love removes our hidden place, strips us of our excuse to not love, but leaves us with no option but love. The refusal to love the body of Christ is to be considered as an act of disobedience. The foundation of our mission is a beautiful, life-giving wine that provides sustenance, support, and direction. Branches are held up by the wine in order that they can bear much fruit. Can you imagine if all the churches in West Rye would choose to work together in God's mission, just as a whole bunch of branches connect to the same vine, so that we can bear much fruit. We can bear much fruit than each of us at alone. So let's pray. Dearly Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us the greatest love, that the love you have demonstrated on the cross. Thank you for choosing us to be your follower, Lord. We confess that too often we fall short of your glory because we fail to practice the love that you have commanded us to. We come to your presence and ask for forgiveness, Lord. Help us to be more mindful, to activate our love in you, so you may be able to love like you love. Help us to learn to extend and practice the love to our wider church family, so we may cooperate better with the different parts of the body of Christ, and so that together we can bear much fruit. We pray in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen.